Abraham and Isaac, right? Does anybody know the story? All right. We can start that and we're ready to go. Amen. Let's take our Bibles today and let's turn into the book of Genesis. Chapter 22, the first seven verses. The first seven verses. And I like the... I'm not sure whether I put the ESV or the Amplified here. I like a little better because King James says that after it came to pass these things that God tempted Abraham. Well, God did not tempt Abraham in the sense that we understand temptation. But it was after these events God tested and proved Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And Abraham said, here I am. He said, take your son. Take your son. There we go. Take your son, your only son. I've got to work on this cable this week, I guess. There we go. Take your only son, who you love, and go to the region of Moriah, Mount Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I'm going to tell you. And on the third day, what did we do? Two here? There we go. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and then began the trip to replace to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And Abraham said to his servants, settle down and stay here with the donkey. I and the young man will go yonder and sacrifice and come again to you. Then Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on the shoulders of Isaac, his son, and he took the fire and the fire pot in his own hand and a knife, and the two of them went on together. And Isaac said to Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Isaac said, see, here's the fire, here's the wood, but where's the sacrifice? With the help of the Lord, God dropped the thought in my mind yesterday. We're at a minister's session, and the brother read this scripture among many, many, many others. And the Lord quickened this scripture to my mind. And he told me to preach this today, and hopefully I'll be nice. You know, sometimes my wife says I got a bad habit of scowling. And I'll try to be, I'll be like Joel Osteen. How about that? Hi. So I'll try to. This is all very serious stuff. Amen? All very serious stuff. Title of the message is, you have the wood, you got the fire, you got the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Why don't you bow your heads? Brother Rick's going to come and pray and ask the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching of this very serious thing that I'm going to talk about today.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you again, O Lord, for your word. Your word of sacrifice unto us, Lord. You've given us all things, Lord, Father, but we ask you, Lord, to help us to understand that we should give back unto thee in everything. We are your sacrifice today, Father. I pray that you use us and bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen. If you'll say in Jesus' name, you can be seated. Praise God. Isaac said, if you notice, it told us that Abraham took the fire pot up, so he carried a little fire with him. Did you know that in the temple, there was always supposed to be a fire burning. You could never let the fire go out. The fire, if you remember the scripture, it talks about the two sons, Nadab and Abihu. It tells us that they took strange fire and offered it before the Lord. And God slew them dead. Can anybody tell me where the strange fire came from? Anybody? No. I don't know where it came from. Can anybody tell me where it didn't come from? Didn't come from the altar. Didn't come from the altar. Our fire has got to come from an altar experience with God. That's what that scripture said of that thing that happened to Nadab and Abihu so many years ago. Was they took their anointing from somewhere else than the altar. Somewhere else than an experience with God. And I know I say it a lot, but I'm going to say it again. It's so important for us to have an altar experience. We don't have altar benches here, but we got a nice place to pray. We got chairs, we got pews, we got a little raised platform. At the end of just about every service, we find a place to pray. It is so, I cannot express to you how important it is to respond to the Holy Ghost. Not to me. Not to me. But to the Holy Ghost. There's a difference. You don't want to impress your pastor. Come on. You want to impress God. You don't want to respond because your pastor's preaching or because somebody else, Brother Rick or Brother Rod or any of the ministers that come preach in this church. You want to respond to the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost begins to talk to you. Isn't that what the scripture says? It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren and sisters, not just the guys here. Amen? Not just the guys. But I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's just your what? Reasonable service. It's no big thing to be a sacrifice for the Lord. Brother Rod, go to my office and bring me a piece of paper. Would you do that? Or find me a piece of paper, two pieces of paper, and a pen. I got a pen, so this will work. It's no big thing for us to present ourselves as a sacrifice. God expects that. And he says, but be you transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. When does your mind get renewed? It's when the preacher is preaching, whoever it is. I got preached to this weekend. It was great. I love it. Nobody's big enough not to get preached to. Nobody's been living for God long enough not to get ministered to. Hurry up with that paper, Rod. Where we get renewed is at the altar. Amen? That's where we get renewed. Come on, bring it up here. I think I'm going to do this for a little while here. Okay, that's good. Amen. Hang on. The altar is where we get renewed. Anybody read this? The altar is where we get renewed. Our minds need to be renewed. Now we'll do the other side. Come on. We've got the fire. How many of you have been filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Just about everybody here. Just about it. You had a fire experience with God. One point or another in your life, the Holy Ghost came on you just like it came on in Acts chapter 2. Where everybody know what day today is? It's Pentecost Sunday. What is Pentecost Sunday? 50 days from Easter. 50 days from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Pentecost Sunday. The history is found in the second chapter of the book of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. In one place. Does anybody understand? I don't know what. I got to have people stop texting me during church. That's not me. Good. Whoever's texting you, tell them stop texting you. I hear dings. Praise God. Amen. Does anybody know what a chord is? What's another word for a chord? Unity. Absolutely. They were all in one mind. Does anybody know why God destroyed the Tower of Babel? Right. And when they were in unity, what could happen? Anything. Well, they weren't doing it for God. So unity was not in God's purpose in that place. So he destroyed the Tower of Babel. He created the languages. They didn't get the Holy Ghost, but God jumbled the languages on them. That's where we get many of the languages that are spoken today. The roots are at the Tower of Babel. Does anybody understand what the Tower of Babel was about? The judgment of God had come in the times of Noah. Man began to repopulate the earth. They understood the damage that was there. And they said, God is never going to do this to me again. I am going to escape the judgment of God. I am going to build a tower so high that if a flood comes, I'm going to be able to rise above the flood. They didn't even believe the promises of God because God said, I'm never going to do it again. But they figured, I'm going to get out around from the judgment of God. So they got in unity, all of them just about. They got in one accord. I'm going to tell you something, church, we need to be in one accord. Church, we need to be in one accord. Come on. They were, you know why sometimes nothing happens in church? Because we ain't in one accord. We come to the house of the Lord. We haven't prayed. We haven't sought the Lord. Maybe there's a critical spirit, and then we wonder why. How y'all doing? Come on. You want it? We need prayer and fasting. You got to have prayer and fasting to have revival. But prayer and fasting alone is not enough to have a great move of God. There has to be that one accord thing. And when the church gets in one accord, things happen that don't normally happen. They were all in one accord. In one, you know, they were in one place. They weren't doing their own thing. They were in the upper room for, I don't think it was a whole 50 days, but they were there for a long time because Jesus said, go and tarry for the promise. So what did they do? They went and tarried for the promise. It didn't come the first day, so what did they do? They tarried for the promise. It didn't come the second day. What did they do? They tarried as long as it took to come into the power and the presence of the Lord. What does the word of the Lord say? It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is. Those are the words of the Lord too. Jesus wants us to be in the house of the Lord, not in some other place. There you go. Somebody else can clap. Here we go. If we want to have revival and a great move of God, believe me, I promise you something. There's going to be a great move of God coming on this church. It's already started this year. It's going to continue. With or without you. You might say, well, you can't do without me. No, I can't. I would cry. I would be happy if you left. But you know what? What did Jesus say? He said, when the Pharisees said, tell your disciples. Remember Palm Sunday? He said they were riding in on to Jerusalem. And the people were throwing their coats down, throwing palms down. And the Pharisees got all upset. Tell them to shut up! What did Jesus say? If these hold their peace, I'm going to raise up some stones. Don't ever get in the place where you think that God would not raise up somebody else. Ooh, it got quiet. Come on, Brother Rick. Amen. If I were to backslide, don't you think that the church would fall apart without me? No, God would raise up somebody else. Don't let a stone take your place. Amen? Don't let a stone take your place. They're all in one accord in that one place. We belong in church. What happens is everything, the devil will throw everything he can do at to you to keep you away from the house of the Lord. You just got to say, devil, you can do what you want to do, but as for me and my house, we're headed to the house of God. Amen. I'm not going to let anything stand between me and my appointment in the house of God. I'm not going to let it stand between me on Sunday. I'm not going to let it stand between me on Thursday. Well, unfortunately, we got a lot of folks, you let it stand in your way. I don't know why I'm just feeling the boldness of the Holy Ghost today. I'm not going to let nothing stand my way. When we first moved to New Jersey, I drove 2.5 hours before we moved to New Jersey for 6 months when we started going to church in Manhattan, long before we started this church. 2.5 hours on Wednesday. 2.5, you can ask my daughter. She has some very bad memories of those rides. 2.5 hours on Friday. 2.5 hours home. See, Pastor, you're exaggerating. You have the permission to ask my wife and my daughter. 2.5 hours on Sunday. Then we would just hang. They had a Sunday night service, so we would just go hang out, and we'd come back to church at 5 o'clock. And I'll tell you why in a little while. Because my desire was to be in the house of the Lord. Because they were in one accord in one place. Suddenly, everybody say, suddenly, there came a sound of heaven, from heaven. Not a rushing mighty wind, but like as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they all we're filled with the Holy. We're Pentecostal. It's Pentecost Sunday. We believe in speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. We believe in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I don't care what somebody says. They'll tell you the Holy Ghost is of the devil. They're not preaching the Word of God. They're not preaching the truth. You want the Holy Ghost, you can have the Holy Ghost. As your faith be it, is so be it unto you. They began to talk in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. I want to inform you something. There were about either 13 or 18 countries there, because it goes on and it tells us about all the countries there. And somebody said, well, somebody spoke in French. Somebody spoke in Italian. Somebody spoke in Hebrew. Yeah, but there was 102 more languages there too. Because the Holy Ghost just doesn't talk in known languages. The Bible talks about the unknown tongue. No man knows what it's saying. It's saying you're talking to God and you're talking to angels. I have personally believed the devil don't know what you're talking about when you're speaking in other tongues. That's why the Bible talks about praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. You get down in your understanding and you sit there and say, oh God, I'm so afraid the devil's going to do this. He's going to sit there, now I know what to get you. But when you're sitting there praying in the Holy Ghost, the devil don't know what you're talking about. You need to let the Holy Ghost move upon you when you're praying, when you're seeking the face of God. I hope I wasn't looking mad. Hallelujah. Praise God. And there were dwelling Jerusalem. We're going to go through all of it. No, I didn't put them all in there. I can say them all. I can say Parthians and Elamites and all the rest of that. Now when this was broached abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language, and others mocking. You say, well, Pastor, didn't it say you heard them speak in their own language? Yeah, it did, but like I said, there was 102 or 107 more. Come on. Maybe I need to teach this at church sometime. There's a difference between tongues and unknown tongues and diverse tongues. And the Holy Ghost getting the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues when you're getting the Holy Ghost. And you're getting the Holy Ghost for interpretation of tongues. Those are all different things. The problem is we don't study. And we let the flesh. Well, you don't need the Holy Ghost, you know, because it was this and that. You know what the problem is? Some people don't get the Holy Ghost. Because it takes a commitment to God. I'm going to give you everything, Lord. I'm not going to withhold everything. Some people actually, and I'm not talking about anybody here, but some people actually can't receive the Holy Ghost because they've got something inside of them that has of their flesh that has captured them, and they cannot become free of it. Because when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to let God have everything. You know the biggest thing that God uses? He uses the tongue. Don't our tongues get us in a lot of trouble? Amen. You ever said something to somebody that got so mad at you and like, what in the world did I say? The Bible talks about it's the littlest member, but it causes the biggest problems. He took that biggest problem, little thing in our mouth, and said, I'm going to let the glory of God come out of it. And now when this was noised abroad, you know what happened? They weren't sitting there with their hands folded and say, didn't the preacher preach nice? They were praising God. Anybody ever met my wife? She got blown away one day. I believe it was my wife and her friend. They went through a Jewish feast. You know, Jewish feasts, they're not really quiet. They're playing the music and they're doing the thing and they're dancing. You know, what do they do? My daughter's not in here, so I don't see her at least. Of course, I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see a whole lot. But they got these dances they do and all the rest of that stuff. They're out having a blast. So they're outside under the upper room having a blast. They don't have a PA system. Nobody's shouting over the radio. Nobody's got all this going on. And they look up and they say, what in the world is going on? Don't you understand? There was something that happened there that day. And there's something that can happen here constantly. Day, not just on the day of Pentecost. Amen. It can happen today. It can happen next Sunday. It can happen Thursday. It can happen during prayer. Well, I don't get enthused with prayer. That's because you're not praying in the Holy Ghost. I can't pray for you. You got to pray for yourself. So I don't like the way you pray. What are you looking at me for? Come on. You sit there and say, well, don't judge me. Well, you're judging me. Wait a second. Come on. Aren't these all Galileans? And how we, you know, they're all talking like this and, oh, yeah, here we go. I told you I can say it. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Belles of Mesopotamia, Men in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus in Asia, and Phrygia, and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, strangers in Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful word. I didn't say one wrong. That's pretty good. Amen. And they heard this, and they were all amazed, and some were in doubt. You're always going to get the doubters. Amen. Others mocking said, they've been tipping at the till a little bit. You know what that means? They've been trying the spirits to see whether they be of God. Amen. And he said, no. Peter stood up. I'm going to tell you something here. Peter wasn't preaching in tongues. So how do you know that? Says he lifted up his own voice. That's easy. He didn't lift up the voice of the Holy Ghost. He didn't lift up tongues of angels and of God. He lifted up his own voice. He was probably speaking in either Hebrew or Greek, probably Greek at that point. Sometimes people say, well, you folks, you should be baptized in the name of Yeshua. Well, really? He wasn't preaching in Hebrew there, and it wasn't recorded in Hebrew. It was recorded in Aramaic or Greek, I forget which two. So if God really thought that part was so important, wouldn't he have let him preach in Hebrew and it all be written in Hebrew? None of us could read it unless we... Come on. Just as long as... You don't understand. Our faith is in God come in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. Is this all right or should I quit? Well, if you're going to quit, I need $200 and I'll quit. Otherwise, I didn't worship. We didn't do what we usually do, so I kept on going a little bit. So I get to preach now. Amen. These are not drunken as you suppose. Seeing is but the third hour of day, for this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith the God, I will pour out of what? My spirit. Not another spirit. The Holy Ghost is part of the Spirit of God. And your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to see visions. And your old men are going to dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I'm going to pour out in those days of my spirit, saith the Lord. And they're going to prophesy. We have the fire. Most of us have received the Holy Ghost. Most of us have talked in tongues. Amen? The Holy Ghost is not an optional experience. Come here, Becky. I want you to see if I was lying or not. I want you to tell them if I was lying or not. Come here. For 6 months, we drove 2.5 hours each way from Manhattan. We did it on Wednesday night. We did it on Friday night. We did it on Sunday. Stayed all day. Went home Sunday night. And I terrorized you with those drives. You got some very bad memories. Is that true? You guess so. Am I lying? No. She remembers the traveling. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. She's not going to lie. She's not going to say, Dad, are you going to kill me if I tell the truth? No. I love my daughter. Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not an optional experience. There was a man named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night. Now, I don't know if you know this, but do you know who Nicodemus was? He was the second most powerful religious man in Jerusalem. Why do you think he went there at night? He didn't want anybody to see him, but he had to find out what was going on. Because he saw all this stuff, and he knew it couldn't have been a man. It had to be of God. And what did Nicodemus tell? What did Jesus tell him? Nicodemus told him, he said, nobody can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus just looked at him. You know, you think I get mad. You know, sometimes people say, well, I say things that make them mad. I'm thinking about Jesus. You got this guy. He's very prestigious, right? Second most powerful man in Jerusalem comes to Jesus. And he says, you got to be born again. Don't think you can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Think about how rude it was. Think about it. Or you can't enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was like, wait a second, how can I go again into my mother's womb and be born? You know. And Jesus answered, are you such, I believe it is in this one here. It's not in that one. Don't you know you're a leader? I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wants to. And you ever hear the wind blow? Especially around like a nor'easter, we had Sandy and the wind was blowing. I was looking at that, fixed that shimmy, put that big cap on there. I was like, dear Lord, help that thing to stay on. The wind was blowing. Wind can take you, can turn you around, mess up your lawn you just cleaned. You could be driving down the car in a little putt-putt like mine. Hope my wife didn't hear that. You know, the little car she's got squirrels that run it. We go down the road, the wind blows hard enough, the car's going like this. Amen. The wind can do a lot of things. He said, the wind blows where it goes. You hear the wind blowing, you hear that howling. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. But so are some of them. No, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. When you get the Holy Ghost, you are going to have a wind experience. Not only are you going to have the sound of the wind, and we liken that unto speaking in tongues, not speaking in French, not speaking in Italian, not speaking in Hebrew, but in that tongues of angels, that tongues of God that the Lord gives, just like He gave to the people in Tower of Babel, not the Holy Ghost, but God can give you a language. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost. You can speak in tongues just like they did in the book of Acts, and you can know that you got the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, you don't know you got the Holy Ghost until you talked in tongues. And not only that, but you got to let the wind move you. What do you think was going on in the upper room? They said, them people are drunk. What was going on? The wind was moving them. The wind was moving them. It was taking them. It was blowing them over here. It was blowing them over there. The power of God was moving in that place. You've got to let the power of God move. Don't be scared of the power of God. Let the power of God move upon you. Let it pour out His Spirit upon you. Somebody shout amen. We got the fire. Isaac said, here's the wood. Now, I'm not trying to be critical. Lord, help me. God gave me this stuff to preach. So if you don't like what I'm preaching, then tell the Lord, you sure got a sorry preacher. Would you help that poor man? Help him to be right? Maybe he can smile like Joel Osteen and say, some of us are wet wood. Anybody ever start fires? Anybody ever have a fireplace? Anybody get a real fireplace? Okay, Taya, what do you got to have? What kind of wood you got to have for a real fireplace? Oh, you got a fake fireplace. Am I the only one that's ever had a real fireplace? Okay, Anthony, you got a fireplace? No. You ever start a fire in the woods? Huh? You city boy. That's why a preacher's job is never done. I used to burn stuff when I was a kid. Man alive. You know what was the most frustrating thing was with starting a fire? When the wood's wet. You know what water does to a fire? Puts it out. But I'm here to tell you today, even if you wet wood, there's hope. Amen. Isaiah chapter, and I can't see the big little letters up there, so let me put my glasses on, and then I'll peek and see if anybody's looking at me like this. No, everybody's okay. Everybody's okay. Good, good. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Well, that doesn't sound great to me. Hang on. He shall not cry, nor lift up, or cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax he shall not quench. Do you see it? The problem is some have gone from fire to smoke. Amen? All you know when you see smoke, all you know is fire's been there. Anybody ever seen a really big fire? Don't put out that much smoke. I mean, sure, you see stuff burn in the city. You know, if you see a building on fire, that's because there's some smoke in there. It's because you've got a lot of impurities there. But you get out and you make a nice big fire, don't put out a whole lot of smoke. You've got to make that fire smoke. And some of us have gotten to the place where the fire's not burning. It's just a lot of smoke. But you see the promise of the Lord? The promise of the Lord is so beautiful. He may see the smoke there. Maybe this is us. Maybe this is us. And it's smoking. I'll take my little signs here. And I can see Jesus go, just get down. Just begin to fan the fire a little bit. Just keep fanning the fire. He's trying to fan you today. He's trying to touch your heart. He's trying to renew your mind by the Holy Ghost. Come on. He's trying to renew our minds by the Holy Ghost. He wants to fan the fires a little bit. It says shout amen. It says shout amen. It says shout amen. Amen! That's shouting amen. He wants to take the fire and put it back. Amen? Some of us are just wet wood. The Lord is trying to set us on fire. And Isaac, you see why? I'm going to tell you why you're not on fire. You didn't catch it earlier. You didn't catch it. You know, I'm terrible. I really will. You know, like when we read in the scripture about the wind, and so are some that receive the Holy Ghost, when it says all have received the Holy Ghost. I'm really bad. I put a word in there. Nobody noticed it. Amen. I'm going to tell you why we wet wood. Where's the sacrifice? We've lost the ability to sacrifice. And because we lose the ability, true worship is lost. I'm going to show you. Because you missed it. Abraham said to his servants, settle down and stay here with the donkey. And me and the young man are going to go yonder and sacrifice. Worship. Abraham understood something we don't understand. Sacrifice is worship. Sacrifice is worship. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? Abraham was a man favored by God. And he's taught us a lot of things, but we missed this one, didn't we? You've never really worshipped until you sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to pay your tithes, isn't it? Sometimes we go and we look, God, what about me? One of these days, I got to find this. It's a hilarious routine. It's talking about a phone call from God. God gets a phone call from God. He says, Lord, I can't afford to pay my tithe. What do you mean? I got to pay for my boat. What do you mean I'm not going to need a boat where I'm going if I don't pay my tithes? It's hilarious. I got to bring it. It's like 10 minutes long. It's hilarious. He ends up, and his wife says, "Who is that, dear?" He says, "It was for you." So it was for somebody else. You see what's happening here? Our tithing is part of our worship. Brother Rick, you ought to shout amen. Brother Rick is one of the most faithful tithing members we got, if not the most faithful tithing member we got. I'll shout amen, Brother Rick. Tithing, the sacrifice of tithing is worship. So if you don't pay your tithes, you're not worshiping. It's a sacrifice to be in the house of the Lord. I got a few of these. We're going to go on for just a few more minutes. You say, "Oh, Pastor, you don't know about the traffic." Well, personally, I don't want to hear it. Sometimes, you know, some of you don't understand, but I made a vow years ago and I said, if Brother Rick will come to church, I'll pick him up till the rapture happens because of certain circumstances. I have had it take me. I come to church on Thursday night. I leave my house at 5 o'clock to get to him, to wait for him to get home from work, and then we come down here. Sometimes after church, I do not get home till 11 or 11:30 at night. Too much of a drive? No. It would be very easy for me to say, "Brother Rick, you need to stay home. It's just too much of a hassle." Sunday's not too bad. Although, a lot of times it can take me 2 hours on Sunday to get home. No. I got a vow I'm going to fulfill before the Lord. I did it when we were in Poughkeepsie coming to Manhattan. I did it when we were in Altus starting a church in Hobart, Oklahoma, which is almost an hour away. I did it in other places. There was no distance. There was nothing that was going to stand between me and being in the house of the Lord. And you know what? Sometimes it was boring in the house of the Lord. Are you familiar with the scripture in Nehemiah chapter 8? Brother Rod, get that for me. I got it at the end of this, but I want you to get it for me now. Nehemiah chapter 8, the first three verses. And then come pull up a microphone here. Run. Come on, Brother Rod, get here. Get here. I need you now. Okay? Nehemiah chapter 8. Take that red microphone. Hold it in your hand. Let's see if this thing works. Well, somebody shout glory. That was not good here. That was messed up. Here we go. That's terrible too. Woo. Man alive. I got to work on the sound system. Well, glory. Well, that's a little better. Nehemiah chapter 8. I guess use this one. It's loud enough. Nehemiah chapter 8, the first three verses. Are you feeling something today? You're feeling the Holy Ghost moving here today? It's either the Holy Ghost moving or the blood boiling, one of the two. I hope it's the Holy Ghost moving. Nehemiah chapter 8. No, that's Nahum. Hang on. I'll get there. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to praise him. Nehemiah, where's Nehemiah's lost here? Where did he go? Does your Bible not have Nehemiah in it? I'm going to be in trouble here. Hang on. All your stuff's falling. You're going to have to come here and pick it up later. Man alive. You think I'm bad? You should see when I'm going to preach in a Spanish church and I got to have interpretation. I have a blast with them guys. You know what? I ain't going to use your Bible. Forget it. I'm just going to go ahead. Here, put this stuff back in here. There you go. I'm just going to skip ahead. I didn't want you to have a cheat sheet so you can see the next ones that I was going to do. So I'm going to do those real fast. So everybody close your eyes here. I don't want you to see the rest of them. And all the people gathered themselves together. Nehemiah chapter 8. Man, my computer picked it up real good. People gathered themselves as one man into the street that was about before the water gate. And they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses. Anybody ever read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers? Does it make you shout? No. matter of fact, when you start getting some of those stuff, it could be down like, I got to read this. I can be a little bit, give you the Z's here. So bring me the law, which the Lord had commanded Moses. And Ezra the priest. Oh, you say, well, he's just talking about the Ten Commandments, right? Because just bring me the law. No. And Ezra the priest brought the law. I'm really sorry I messed your Bible up, Rod. I got all that stuff mixed up on you, so I apologize. Before the congregation of all the men and women and all that could hear with understanding. In other words, they didn't have Alzheimer's. Upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning to the midday. And they stood there and they said, we want to hear the word. We want to hear. They stood. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. They just stood there and listened to a guy. I promise you, he didn't act like I was, they probably had a hard time hearing him because they didn't have microphones. I mean, sure, they had some Coliseum stuff and maybe they had a little echo there and everything, but you couldn't do a whole lot. You had to sit there and very precisely listen. All day. It ended up being all day. Because they had such a hunger to be in the house to hear the word. What happened to your hunger? Come on. Renewing of the mind. Where's the hunger? Let's go back now. I'm going forward. There we go. All right. Where's the hunger? It's a sacrifice to pray, isn't it? Pastor, you don't know how busy I am. It's hard to make time. If you don't sacrifice, you're not worshiping. Somebody find my wife and bring her out here, please. It's a sacrifice to be faithful. Maybe that's why the Lord has blessed us over the years. No, we don't have a lot of money. Yes, I have problems. But you know what? We don't know what our lives would have been without God. It's hard to know where I would be without the hand of God in my life. Did you hear about that accident the other night? 1 o'clock in the morning, Walmart truck ran into a limo, killed a guy, put six other people in the hospital, six other cars in the junkyard. What has the Lord spared me from? I don't know. Or the young lady that honestly knows the teaching and remains modest, and the young man that remains chaste. They don't know what God has spared them from, what diseases, what problems. The young man or young woman that never went into drugs, never went into gangs, they don't know that they could have been in jail for the rest of their life. They don't know it's possible to have killed. You don't know these things. You don't know what God saved you from. It's just a small thing to be faithful. It's not a big thing to be faithful. It's a sacrifice to submit to the word. But I want to do it my way. You ain't worshipped till you sacrificed. I was teaching Sister Joyce this morning. And I asked her if she knew what submission was. She got some things. Then I told her what submission was. And she was like, ooh. You know what submission is? Submission is you think it ought to be done one way. And because there's leadership in your life, you say yes. That's submission. You've never submitted to somebody until you do something you don't want to do. I made me one of these. See, I'm having some fun today. You're not worshiping. Worship without sacrifice is not worship. Let's all stand. Father, I see the wood. You've got the fire. But where's the sacrifice? Where has your sacrifice gone? Why has it become so hard to live for God? Holy Ghost, sweet Lord, move on us, God, today. Search me, O Lord.